It is the first class, January 30th of Business 123, Introduction to Investments for Spring 2020, and I am so excited! I hope you can hear me. Introduction to Investments, my name is Frank Baiano. We're going to go through the syllabus, and then we're going to get started with the Chapter 1 materials, because today we learn what is an investment. But let's take a look at the syllabus first. What's the most important document of any class? Let's say syllabus. And that's why we put it in the back of our notebook and never look at it again, right? Until the professor, we ask the stupid question to the professor, and the professor says, "Didn't you read the syllabus?" not really. But anyway, we're going to read it together, and then hopefully you won't put it in the back of your notebook and never look again, because the back page is really important. What is this class? Introduction to Basic Investment Principles, including markets, stocks, also called equities, bonds, also called fixed income, debt instruments, or just fixed income, mutual funds, the legal term is investment companies, insurance products, interpretation of financial statements and other financial data and information, brokerage accounts, and the relationship of economic and political conditions to invest in. Poly means many, and ticks are one subject. Course content, investment environments, risks and return. The whole semester we will do in one session where we talk about the relationship of risk and return. Can't get away with that from that. Mutual funds, stocks, bonds, markets and transactions, investment strategies and tools, portfolio management and asset allocation, and then options and futures. Come on in, there's plenty of room. Come on in. Tell your friends to come. Free beer tomorrow. Okay. Tomorrow. Not today. And then real estate and other investment alternatives. Okay, see? We'll get real estate. Don't worry. We'll get you to real estate. What is the course materials? Now, did anybody buy the book?
Did anybody buy the book?
Nope.
We have to have a book in college, don't you? We have to have a book in college because it's required by the state.
Actually, there are two copies of the book in the library that you can read there. They're on reserve. You can't take them out. If you go, I'm going to show you the class website. You can buy one of the older editions for $10. All right? You don't need the 8th edition. It's over $300. It's outrageously priced. I wouldn't give you $30, $40 for it. However, it's worth about $10, $20, especially the first chapter. The first chapter is inspired. The rest of it is kind of boring. My apologies. But it's one of the best introduction to investments college textbooks there are. I'm going to give you other books that are far better to read, hell of a lot easier to read, won't put you to sleep at night. And so, okay, don't tell them, right? Now, what else do you need, though? You do need a notebook. Now, what I suggest is that you get a 3-ring binder, because I'm going to give you copious notes. You like that word, copious? It means a lot. Copious handouts, assignments, worksheets, and the like. And if you don't have, if you have one of these things, it's easy for them to fall out and get lost. If you have one of these, who needs one? Who wants one? There you go. Who needs another one? There he goes. Here you are. I wind up with these things and I give them away. If I give you more, I'll give you more. Okay, so please have a notebook. Calculator. Now, you do not need a scientific, fabulous calculator. In fact, all you need is a 99-cent calculator with add, subtract, multiply, and divide. That is it. This one is $1.47. Okay, you don't even need one that has squirt or exponentiation. You know squirt on your calculator? You just see that? Squirt on your calculator. Square root, I'm sorry, square root. That's what it's called. Yeah. You don't need squirt. All you need, so go out and buy five $1 calculators at the 99 cent store. And that's all you'll need for today. However, if you do have a spreadsheet, it'll make life a lot easier. And hopefully during the semester, we'll bring the laptops in, and at least one of our classrooms will, or class sessions, will be able to use the laptops and play with it. All right, you need dedication, organization, motivation, hard work, and jokes. Who's got a good joke? Nobody? Yeah, okay.
Not off my head.
Okay.
Not off my head. I just have good jokes. Not off my head.
You can't tell.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you call a bear with no teeth?
Toothless bear is so
gummy bear.
Gummy bear. I want good jokes. I've got bad jokes.
You said bad earlier.
No, I tell the bad jokes. You have to bring the good jokes. But that's pretty bad. That's good. I like good bad jokes. What do you call a fish with no eye?
Mississippi.
With no eye?
Oh, because of the...
What do you call a deer with no eye? Come on. I got no idea. See, they get worse. Come on in. Hurry. Okay, so you know what you need, right? And you need to show up. What's next? Attendance and lateness. Don't come late to class. I'm so late to class. Get here 8:30. If you come 8:15, I usually show a video trying to get people to get here on time. Don't miss class. If you do, we record the class sessions. It's not going to sound so good today, but I have my voice recorder. It fits right here, and it works great. But I forgot it. Everything we cover is important. I don't try to waste your time, except for today. And so on the website, you'll see that you can listen to today's lecture, barring any technical difficulties, or you can look at what? Shut up. Okay, I turned it on airplane mode, but it's still telling me crap. Or you can watch or listen to the presentations that are for the online students. So I teach this class online. And if anybody wants it to, he's leaving.
Wrong class.
No, you're going to get richer. Wait, don't go away. This is a better class. Yeah. Take it online.
Online?
Yeah. Contact me, okay?
Take it by
Apple. B123. Okay. So this is not a valid excuse. No, it's not a valid excuse. That's a confession. Right? So contact me, make friends, study in groups. That has been shown over and over and over again to be the absolute best way to learn is to study with other people. It's really useful. Now, grading. Do you want to get an A?
Yes, sir.
No?
In some audits, do I go through the same process?
No, you don't get any grade. You don't get any, you shouldn't audit. You should get the college credit. This class is really not that hard. There's a lot of material, so you do have to study, but it's not rocket science. It's actually pretty straightforward. There's two parts of investing. There's the intellectual part, and that's pretty straightforward, as we'll see. Then there's the emotional part. That's the hard part.
Oh yeah.
And you'll hear a guy named Warren Buffett brought up in our class often, because he's one of the world's best investors, and he was fond of saying, investing is simple, but it ain't easy. And we'll see why. We'll see why it's simple. Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then when you see, I lost so much money, then you see why it ain't easy. But really, all of you can get an A. And I'll make a deal with you. I don't do this with every class. I'll make a deal with you, especially now I'm retired. I failed in retirement.
Oh, well.
If every single student in this class gets an A for the next 10 years until 2030, assuming I live that long, I will, as every new person I meet, I'll say, hi, my name is Frank Quayano, and every student in my business 123, Introduction to Investments, Spring 2020 class got an A. How's that? Is that a deal?
Sure, why not?
I'm not sure with all our names.
I will make a shirt with all your names on it, and I'll wear it in the back of my
house. And don't wash it.
Good luck.
Good luck with that. Now, what is supposed to happen here? What is supposed to happen? Well, we tend to say that, you know, college classes, college grades should look like the bell curve, the normal curve, with lots of C's, a few F's, a few A's, and then B's and, I'm sorry.
What the heck?
B's and B's, right? Yeah. And if you go to some schools, they make sure it happens. You ever heard of Berkeley, UC Berkeley?
Yeah.
They make sure. So it doesn't matter if you got 92%. If everybody, if that's 92%, you get a C. If all the other valedictorians in the class got 92%, you get a C. And you have to get 99% to get an A. And so I don't really like that too much. But as long as everyone knows it, and that's why if you have a C average at Berkeley, you're going to get into any graduate school. So don't worry about it. But here, what happens here? What happens here is we get what's called a bimodal. We get lots of F's and D's, and lots of B's and A's and a few C's. And why is that? Well, these are the people who come to class remotely sober and relatively aware. I'm serious. I mean, if you come remotely sober, dudes, I hand out, I sign this, I'll do it. And then these are the people who don't necessarily come to class remotely sober, or they get called away to Cancun because they're Uncle Lucas had a hangnail or something like that. And what do the counselors tell you to do if you're failing the class?
Drop it.
So this is what we usually see. We usually see something like this. They say, you have graded inflation. I don't care. If everybody gets an A, I will give you the grade you deserve. Everybody gets an F, I will cry my eyes out. So do it, right? Come to class on time, do the assignments, do the research. It's actually fun. And if it ain't fun, then it probably ain't for you. Investing is probably not for you. That's why you're going to learn about mutual funds in this third and the fourth week first before we actually get into the nitty-gritty. You're going to learn about the investments for the masses, which allow us to basically just, hey, you do it for me, okay? Thank you very much for my $50 a month. Okay, that's it. Time requirements. You know, we're supposed to do about an hour a day. If you can do half an hour outside of class, if you, every day, look, review your notes, go online, do the assignments, do the research we ask you to do, go to the library. Have you ever been to a library? They're really cool. They got lots of books. You read? Have you seen books? I know the librarians look scary. Okay, I know they look really scary, but they're really cool people. So accommodations, you know the drill. You need help, contact me the first 2 weeks. We have alternative methods. I had one student who was going blind, and so they helped me take everything and make it this big. You know, they made it 4 times bigger, and I'd give it to her, and the other student's like, I want one of those. Okay. The Academic Success Center, you know other places, they used to call it the Tutoring Center, they call it the Tutoring Center. Have you been to the Academic Success Center? No? Go! Oh. It is the best place on campus. Why? Because the students that are there, the tutors that are there, are already motivated. And that's the thing, if I could bottle motivation for college students, especially community college level, I'd be a gazillionaire. Anyone could be. Because that's the thing, we find students are kind of like, I don't know. But you go there, you're going to be excited because all the other students are excited. And then you're going to be one of them. You're going to start tutoring other students, and you're going to find that the secret, the dirty little secret that we teachers have, is we learn more from you than you learn from us. That's the dirty little secret. I am the most luckiest guy in the world because I get to teach what I love, and I learn more by teaching. Now, how do you get in touch with me? Well, as I said, right after class, I have an office hour right across the way, on the corner right over here. And you'll see my name in my office hours. But you can also, most people want to do email, leave a message. My office phone, email is better. My home phone, email is better. There's my website. We're going to take a look at the website away in a bit. And also, we have a teleconferencing system called Zoom. So if you can't stick around after class. You can meet me in my virtual office hour on Thursday nights at 7:30, or we'll make a time, and we'll meet some other time up to you, at your convenience. Forget the SLOs. That's just something we do for the people who stay far away from the students. Now, this is a very important document, right? You're gonna sleep. Look in the back. This is the course schedule. And normally we follow it pretty closely. It depends. We might get a little bit behind. Maybe we'll divert a little bit. But pretty much, this is the these are the main alternatives for investments, the main investment classes, sometimes called asset classes. And you take this class. You are ready for an internship at a brokerage firm, insurance agency, loan broker, mortgage broker. So you show them this thing, show them what you've done, show them your A, your transcript, and
I need that transcript. I'm gonna have to disagree with you on that.
No?
I do not look at those when I hire.
You don't look at their call? Okay. So
I look at their portfolio to see if they're actually live managing their portfolio.
Oh, you look at their actual investments. Okay, well, that's a good question. I met a guy who was a broker at one of the broker things. He would carry around his in his pocket and show it to people. And I asked my boss if that was a good idea. She said, "Don't you dare." I said, "Okay." Yeah. Okay, no problem. And so it's interesting.
But it's easier for training purposes to have them have a good grade.
Okay, it's for training purposes. Well, it's just a ticket. You know, you've done this. Now what you need is experience. And we have, we'll discuss it later on, because right now, unless you want to get it now, is Business 290. Have you heard of Business 290?
Is it business communication?
No. This is the workplace experience. You will get college credit for an internship. And if you have extra time, it's a serious time commitment, so don't think you don't really have to do any homework, but you do have to show up remotely sober, wearing appropriate business attire, and you get college credit for working out in the industry. But after you have this class, definitely brokerage firms will be like, "Oh, yeah, a bank, credit union, insurance agency, a mortgage broker, they'll be interested." Okay, cool? All right, so now it's time to show you the website. Okay, let's go to... All right, here is my website. I spared no expense and paid $14 for wonderprofessor.com. Can you remember Wonder Bread?
Yes.
Nod your head, yes. In this culture, when we agree, we nod our head this way. Don't agree with this. Some cultures, when they agree, they go like this. Not our culture. Can you remember Wonder Woman?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You can remember wonderprofessor.com. So if you miss a class, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go?
Wonderprofessor.com.
Right. Not Professor Wonder, he's a balloon magician. Okay, so you're not really going to spend much time on this front homepage or whatever, but... especially about the book, I would take a look at ratemyprofessors.com, especially about the book, okay? And then there's a few other things. If you don't have Microsoft Office, you can get OpenOffice or LibreOffice or Google Docs. Google Docs is very cool, that's where everything is. And then there's all kinds of stuff down here that you may or may not be interested in. There's my availability, but that's on the web, on the syllabus. But here's what you want, right here, look, Business 123, Introduction to Investments. So, this is where all the material, everything I give you, is up here. So if you forget something, lose something, there's plenty of room, come on in. There's room over here, come on in. Actually, there's a spot right there. And then this is going to disappear, because this talks about Google Docs and then little political advertisements. But there's the textbook information at the bottom of the page, I'll show you that. And then here are the announcements. These are the announcements for the online students, but feel free to take a look at them. They're discussing what we're doing every week, and as I said, we normally stay along with what's going on in the course schedule.
And then here's the syllabus. See, it says syllabus. Let's make this a little bit bigger. Okay. The handout I gave you today. Right? Ta-da! There it is. So everything... She's already in class, right? All the handouts I give you, they're all up here, right? Is that cool? So if you lose something, you need something, handout. Okay, so let's go back. And then here are the chapter one materials. So here's the presentation file that I had. We saw the first slide that was basically hello. We're going to go through that. And then the study guide, the assignments, how to submit assignments, that's for the online students. Discussion board, that should be online students only. Securities types matching assignment handout. We're going to do that next week. I like this. We used to call this class investments and securities. Investments and securities. And people would say, but I'm not an administration of justice, but I'm not that type of security. So we changed the name to introduction to securities. Because mostly we spend most of our time on securities, which is not that type of security. And then here we'll discuss all these things later on. But this is the part that you're going to be interested in. Here are all the presentations for the online students, and that's basically what we do in class. I even tell the same jokes usually, not always. By the end of today, hopefully, hello, are you still listening to me? At the end of today, we'll have the lecture we had on the in class. Paul?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. And I'll show it to you again. But well, usually there'll be about a week or two ahead in up here as we go along. Here's the chapter four materials, which is on that's week 3 and 4, mutual funds. And then here are the textbooks. Here, you can pick up a copy of the 5th edition, 6th, 7th edition, maybe 7th edition might be a little more expensive. 4th, 5th, 6th, probably for $10, $12 online. And then read it and then fall asleep. But go to the library. Read it there. As I said, the first chapter is really good, and we're going to go through the first chapter, but the rest of it is pretty dry. And then here's the bottom. Now, what's that?
That looks like a back button.
That's the back button.
Oh.
did you see it? Right. Want to see it again? Okay. Back.
Wow.
see what you're up against? I told you they get worse. They don't believe me, but they're gonna find out. Okay, did I tell you about the alligator that walked into the bar?
No.
Okay. So this alligator walks into the bar. You haven't heard this one before. And he orders a beer. The bartender gives him a beer, and the alligator gives him a beer. The bartender says, "Are you having troubles at home? Any problems with the wife?" And the alligator says, "No." The bartender says, "How about work? Your boss giving me a hassle?" The alligator says, "No." And the bartender says, "Well, why the long face?" He's an alligator. You might have heard it. It was a horse, but it was an alligator. They don't believe, but they're going to find us. They're going to find us. Okay, fine. Ready. We're ready. I'm so excited because we're going to take a look at the beginning of our journey together with Introduction to Investments. And this, before we do that, let's read that. But before we do that, let's take a look at a perspective. It is a, and if you know this already, don't shout down. If it is a gloomy moment in history, never has the future seemed so dark and incalculable. The United States is beset with racial, industrial, and commercial chaos, drifting we know not where. Of our troubles, no one can see the end. When do you think this was said? When do you think this was written? Last night on Skunk News? Weasel News. Fox News. On Fox News? When do you think this was written? When do you think this was said?
Way before Fox News?
Like in the
50s.
1950s, Cold War?
Yeah, a little bit prior to that.
Prior to that, maybe 40s, World War II? 30s, Depression? That's what a lot of people say Depression. Some people say 9/11. You know, it was actually a lot sooner than that. It was 1847.
right.
Yeah, Trump. Yeah. 1847, from a very influential magazine of the time, Harper's Magazine. Did they have serious problems in the 1840s?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what was going on in the 1840s?
Come on, you've taken United States history, right?
Just Google it.
Was it the Missouri Compromise?
The Great Compromise. The peculiar institution, isn't that a great name? Don't call it slavery. Well, the peculiar institution was still going strong in the South, and there was a major fight over whether it should continue and go westward, as the country went westward, or if it should be abolished altogether. They were called abolitionists. They were the progressives of the time. And the nation was about to tear itself apart.
Dear students, the last 200 years have been the most prosperous years in the history of the world. The last 20, 30 years have been more prosperous than ever before. Our standard of living is greater than anyone could have imagined in the 1840s. A toilet had not been invented yet. And if you think that's silly, you go ahead and read the books. Historical novels from the 1840s. Or the 1740s, or from the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages. And you realize that life has never been better. Never been better. Do we have serious problems here in the 2020s? We've got PMC Trump. Yes, we got serious problems. But so far, equating serious with fatal has not been the case. That doesn't mean it won't be. We could die in our own waste, blow ourselves up, tsunami,
epidemic.
Meteorite, epidemics, the Ebola could become all the rage, or what's it called, Corona?
Yeah, Corona, yeah.
Coronavirus could be all the rage. Remember the Black Plague?
No.
Very, very popular one time. One third of the people had died. But, so far, the news has been good, and you don't see that every night on Skunk News. They want to tell you the bad news. That's how they get people excited.
Well, that's how they make their money.
That's how they make their money, right?
Yeah.
But don't watch. Read. So I'm going to give you the good news. I'm going to show you that even with all the horrible things that have happened, the time to live has never been better. And currently, hundreds of millions of people have come and are coming out of poverty for the first time around the world. Now, we live here in the United States, the Western world. We don't really see it that often. We're seeing glimpses of it. Everyone's on the news and trying to feel bad. But when people have money in their pockets for the very first time, what do they want?
Coca-Cola.
To spend.
What did you say?
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
To
spend it on what? What do they spend it on? Coca-Cola.
Useless crap.
Useless crap? Dan and yogurt is useless? Nike shoes are useless? Is your cell phone useless? They want toothpaste. Anybody have kids? Anybody have kids? Is it hard to get your kids to brush their teeth? Sometimes. Think how hard it is to get a billion Indians for the first time to pick up a toothbrush and start brushing their teeth. It ain't easy. But once they start doing it and their teeth stop falling out, then they're all going to want Colgate and Crest. You understand? Now, we live with it, so we're inculcated. We're surrounded by it, so we don't see the effects. But we're going to see the effects around the world. And that is great news for us investors. Great news! Because now you have a billion, 2 billion, 3 billion new consumers to buy your products. Is that cool?
Definitely, yeah.
I think so. I'm very optimistic, and I'm old. Usually, as you get older, you get pessimistic. But I'm very optimistic that the next 20, 30 years should be the best years yet, providing we don't blow ourselves up, die in our own ways. Don't believe me. If watching the news, you could be forgiven for not believing me. But look, folks, in 5-10 years, we're going to cure cancer. It's already happening. Have you heard of CAR T? CAR T. It's a silly name. CAR. And then lowercase t. It is so cool. Look it up. You have cancer. Oh my goodness. You know, we'll let it's still not. It's still in the. Some people die from the treatment.
but it's still in the beginning embryonic stages. They take out your leukocytes, is it?
Yeah.
Getting it right? Leukocytes. Your killer T cells, killer B cells. They take them out, they splice some genes in there to tell the killer cells that that tumor is not a friend of ours. It's killing us. Because cancer is really cool. Cancer goes, oh, don't bother me, I'm part of the body. And the immune system says, But now they give them the good news, and the immune system goes into overdrive, and you have the worst cold you've ever had in your life, and 2 weeks later, the tumor's gone.
Wow.
You cool? You want to buy a car? In 5-10 years, you don't need to. You just call a car, come pick you up, and it'll be a whole lot cheaper than owning a car. Will you do it? My buddy's bummed. I'll never take my car away from me. He loves cars. I hate cars. I can't wait for driverless cars to come pick me up and take me where I want to go. And also, are you taking any foreign languages? Who's taking any foreign languages? Don't bother.
Why not?
Why not? Because pretty soon,
it will automatically discern what that person is speaking, what language that person is speaking, and automatically translate it into your language, and then turn around and do it the other way.
What's kind of doing that right now?
Not very good. 5-10 years? It's going to be really good.
It better be. Well, I'm sure Google and a few other companies are trying their best to make it good really now. So we're going to see how exciting the rest of your lives are going to be. We'll see. Okay, chapter one. An overview of the investment universe, a brief history of risk and return. Oh boy, is this important. And this is where the book really shines in this very first chapter. They do a brief history of risk and returns, and then the time horizons and short-term investments. What I tried to do here is create what I believe should be the contents of the first chapter of an introduction to investment book. What the book does is they make this the first chapter, and then they take this stuff and kind of throw it around in different chapters, and I think that's really dumb. But they have a great quote. In investing money, the amount of interest you want, and I wouldn't use the word interest, I would put return or rewards. Investing money, the amount of reward you want, should depend upon whether you want to eat well or do you want to sleep well. You with me? Do you want to eat well? You're going to have to take a lot of risk. You want to sleep well? You ain't going to earn a lot of money. And there's no way to get around that. There's no way. If anybody tells you differently, they is lying. But we're going to learn techniques that will allow us to eat reasonably well and sleep reasonably well. So we're going to hopefully merge the two, and you're going to be armed with the information and hopefully the techniques to deal with the times when you ain't sleeping well. Because everyone says the world is going to end. And it comes around, goes around, you know, it happens every once in a while. Last time was 2008. Anybody remember that?
Recession.
The Great Recession. Because they didn't want to call it a depression. And it really, they didn't, you know, they will talk about it later on, but they really did their best not to make it into a recession, a depression. So for some, you know, the definition of a recession is 2 consecutive quarters, 6 months, of negative growth. What a stupid name. When the economy contracts, when there are fewer jobs, fewer goods and services. So that's the definition of a recession. What's the definition of a depression? Well, there isn't one. There's no relied upon the definition. However, this one is probably the most popular one. A recession is when your neighbor loses his job or her job. A depression is when you lose your job. I like that one. Cool? So let's get started on chapter one. There is, for every chapter, this is page 3, a study guide. And look at the study guide. Does it sound like something you should study? Page number 3. Now, every term on here is going to be fair game. Make flashcards, get with your buddies. Every once in a while, you'll see something like, if you go down to, where is it? Geometric. Oh, yeah. Go down to number 8 or so. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Where it says average versus geometric returns. Forget geometric returns.
The book tries you, wants you to learn how to do average return versus geometric. Nobody uses them, so don't worry about them. Average return is what we're going to deal with. But everything else, unless it says ignore this, you know, ignore that, you got to learn that. Okay, cool. All right, so let's get started. I'm so excited. Where's my clicker? I can't find it. Do we have one of those decades? Here it is. Here it is. Okay. What is an investment? Well, some people would come up with their own definitions. But this one is, in my humble opinion, is the best. So I want this is the one I want you to learn. And whenever you see some kind of solicitation or some offer, ask yourself, does it meet these criteria? An investment is any vehicle into which resources can be placed with the expectation that it will generate positive income or that its value will be preserved or increased, or both. So, we want income or we want capital gains. We want the darn thing to go up. Most people think of an investment, they think about the increase in value. But the income is sometimes the more important, and in my humble opinion, is the more important. What is kind of cash is this thing going to generate for me? And here's Mr. Benjamin Graham. We're going to come back to Mr. Benjamin Graham throughout this semester. He wrote a very important book that we'll talk about. Don't read it first, though. It shouldn't be the first book you read. But he was Warren Buffett's teacher, and he died in 1975. But his words still ring true throughout the, he started writing in the 40s and 50s, 60s, and 70s, and passed away. An investment operation is one which, upon thorough analysis, promises safety of principal and a satisfactory return. Operations not meeting these requirements are speculative. So you see, are you investing or are you speculating? And as long as you know what you're doing, fine, good luck. You're going to need it when it comes to speculating. But some people are good at it. And you never know until you try. I knew. I tried. I didn't do it. I knew I was going to lose. And actually, I won. This is good. Good. Every time. It wasn't their fault. It wasn't my fault. I won. It was their fault. So investment returns come in all shapes and flavors and sizes. So we're going to go through the different terms that you're going to want to learn. Do we want income, also called cash flow, or do we want capital appreciation, capital gains, or capital losses, also sometimes called growth? Right? So you'll hear income versus growth, or growth in income, but sometimes we can have losses too. And so some of the cash flow, it just makes sense. Interest from your savings account, dividends come from stocks, rent comes from real estate, and then, of course, did it go up? Did it go up? Did it go up? So let's take a look at, types of investments. The type that we're going to spend our most time on are called securities, which is a fancy word, I guess, for financial investments. Fancy way of saying financial investments. You might have heard of the Securities and Exchange Commission. These are stocks, bonds, mutual funds, options. Savings accounts are basically a security, a financial investment. They represent debt, lending your money to somebody, or ownership. Buying into an enterprise, buying into a company, or the legal right to acquire or sell an ownership. What? It's not the investment. It's a right to buy the investment. Yeah, those are options. And then people can buy property. And this is what. And your name again?
Stephen.
He was asking about real estate. Why do they call it real estate as opposed to imaginary estate? What is real property? Take your business 140 yet? Anything that's attached to the ground. Anything that is attached to the ground is called real property, real estate. And so land, buildings, personal property, precious metals, autos, art, collectibles, and the like, and we'll discuss those later on. Do you want to own gold?
Yeah, no.
I don't know. We'll talk about gold later on. One of the students, this was a few years ago, and he actually, I'm going to bring it up and show it to you. He gave me some gold, because I'm not a big gold fan. And he gave me some gold. It's not much. But he gave, I'll show it to you. If I remember. So sometimes called hard assets, tangible assets, commodities. And then, probably the most important, in my humble opinion, are personal investments. Investing in yourself. Education. Training, travel. It's, in my humble opinion, the best investment you can make is in yourself. Why are you in college? Why are you here?
My mom told me if I don't go to college, I can't stay here.
We hope to make you a better person.
I want to get a job.
Fine, that's good. We want you to get a job, but we also want you to be a good citizen. To think for yourself as opposed to Skunk News or whatever. And so college is often the best investment a person will ever make, in my humble opinion. Certainly was for me. It really helped me a lot. Not only just to get a good job, but in terms of opening my eyes to what the hell's going on in this world. We concentrate on securities. We're going to spend most all our time on stocks, bonds, mutual funds. Do our best to scare you away from options and futures.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank me later after you lose 30%. So that's what we're going to do. Now, there are two types of assets, primary assets and then derivatives. And primary assets come in two different methods. We discussed that when we talked about investment. Debt. Or equity. Debt is lending your money. You are lending your money to somebody else. Bond, a loan, to a corporation, to a municipal entity, to the federal government. Or you're lending your money to the bank or the savings or the credit union. Right? When you put your money in the bank, you're lending your money to them. That's a loan, as far as they're concerned. That's a debt that they have to pay back. When you work in a bank, everything's backwards. Because you think of it as, oh, that's my money in the bank. It is your money. You're lending it to them. They got to pay it back. And they're going to pay you interest. So savings accounts. But the real growth, the real wealth comes from ownership. Equity. Equity is a fancy word for ownership. Do I own it? And that's stocks, real estate, investment trust. We've mentioned those things. Partnerships, sole proprietorships, real estate. If you've taken Business 120, you've learned about the difference between a corporation, a partnership, a sole proprietorship. Maybe you go on and do a little bit of a trust, and I think they do in 120. Anybody taken 120? Not yet? Do they talk about trusts also a little bit?
Yeah,
a little bit. Mm-hmm. Trusts are tricky. Derivatives are securities that derive their value from an underlying security or an asset. That's all you got to know, really, about them. And that they're dangerous. They're speculative. Who used the word gambling? Educated gambling. This is non-educated gambling. However, some people are good at it, but no, stay away. You'll hear people say, you can make 300% with an option. You're right. And then the next day, you lose all 100% of it. Yes.
I had a friend, you know, he wanted to learn about stocks, you know, and I'm like, yeah, sure, meet me in the library tomorrow. So we meet up, you know, and I try to tell him about, like primary assets and that sort of stuff. You know what he wanted to get into? ETFs options. I'm like, my dude, you're skipping all the steps, my dude.
No, but he likes gambling. Some people like that. What's there's the movie, the guy gambling, because I like to win, but I love to lose. And that's the gamblers, they love to lose. And if you love to lose, there you go. Options, futures. I'm going to do my best to keep you away from these, but you're going to learn about them. And some people in the industry do not classify derivatives as investments. They're speculation.
Is that like a contract or something?
It is a contract. We'll discuss it later. Now, there are direct and indirect investments. when you have a direct investment, your name is on the title. Your name's on the real estate down at the... Come on in, come on in. Yes. Everything's online. We're recording the presentation. Have a seat. Okay. Your name is on the title. Your name is on the brokerage account. Your name is where the bonds and the stocks are. And it used to be they would give you a stock certificate. Your name was on it. They don't do that anymore. They don't want it. I mean, they will if you ask for it. But they'll say, why do you want that? And they'll charge you $50 to do it. They don't want to deal with these anymore. But so your name, you're in control. An indirect control, indirect investment, is where you are not in control of the investment. You have limited control, or more likely no control. I mean, you own the mutual fund, but the mutual fund does the investing for you. You can't call up and say, hey, I think it's time to call, to buy Apple. Thank you very much. No, they decide what is going to be invested in. And then there's that real estate investment trust. You buy a real estate investment trust, they own the real estate. They decide if they're going to buy shopping centers, apartment buildings,
gas stations.
Gas stations. They do the control of the investment. So you own the your shares in the mutual fund or the REIT, but you're not in control of what the hell's going on. That's an indirect investment. Now, there are three categories for where the investment is located. We call that the domesticity. Where is it domiciled? There's domestic, international, and global. Wait a minute, Plano. What's the difference between international and global? International is also sometimes called foreign, sometimes called overseas. Domestic means it's based in the good old US of A. Global means todo el mundo. Global, it's the whole world. Here's where it gets tricky. Foreign is outside the United States. The world is a very small place these days economically, a very smart investor told me once. 65% buy value of the parts in the Ford Mustang come from the US and Canada. 90% of the parts in the Toyota Sienna, which is built in Indiana, by the way, come from the US and Canada. So which is the more American car? Is the 65%, the Mustang? How do you get more US of A, more American than a Ford Mustang? Buy a Toyota Sienna. Yeah, it used to be that the least riskiest was here in domestic. And I'm sorry, it should have been the other way around. And the most riskiest was in international. And then global was somewhere in between because you had US and international. That's not true anymore.
Why is that?
Why is that? Because 60 years ago, 70, 80 years ago, they just didn't have the same standards of accounting, transparency, corporate governance outside the United States and Europe. And Hong Kong, there were a few places, Japan, Singapore, Australia, South Africa. But now, the rest of the world, except for a few places, has kind of realized, you know what? Capitalism might be the very worst economic system ever created, except for all the others. Hey, how's it working for you, Mr. Maduro? Well, you know, I'm not dead yet. Venezuela is a basket case. They're in deep trouble. But so far, they've rejected any kind of changes. I mean, even Cuba and North Korea are introducing more and more capitalism. Vietnam is exploding. You know, they're so ostensibly a communist, still a communist country, and of course China. We thought by now that China would have changed. We thought, how are you going to keep centralized, communist, autocratic system and a market-based economy? How are you going to do it? They've done it so far. So far, we'll see what happens. They got their problems, China. Everybody's got their problems. Yes.
Let's see, the Chinese economy, and we see a recession. Can we see a Great Depression in the Chinese economy?
Oh, sure. And that's a lot of people. A lot of people are expecting that to happen.
Yeah.
They're expecting their Great Depression to come because they've got some serious problems.
Yeah.
And we don't want to go into it.
Especially in real estate.
Exactly. They have entire cities that are empty. They've built these cities that are empty. Now, you own those buildings. Are you getting any rent from those buildings when there's nobody living in them? No, so they have these called zombie banks and zombie loans. So they've had a lot of problems, but don't worry. I mean, they've got 1.3 billion people who all want Colgate toothpaste, and they all want Nike shoes, and they used to want Apple products, but now Apple can't, because of Trump. He's so stupid. He's not even vindictive and childish and narcissistic. He's stupid. And that's a really bad combination. Okay, so let's take a look. How are we doing for time? Not bad. Let's take a look at, you know all these brands, right? You've seen these brands. Can you pick out the foreign? Can you pick out the domestic?
You see, 7-Eleven was being
he knows too much. Okay. Well, who do you think's domestic? Who do you think's domestic? Come on, you got to talk. You don't have to be right. You're not bad. 7-Eleven. Who else? Who? Gerber, domestic. Who else is domestic?
Budweiser.
Nope. Who else? Who else is domestic? Farmers Insurance. Who do you think is outside the United States?
Cup of soup.
Carnation.
Fox.
Wait a minute. Fox is as USA as you can get. What are you talking about? You don't believe what Fox News says, and you're not an American. Anyway, let's go through it. Budweiser. Mother Bud is based in Brazil and Belgium now. InBev. Shell Oil. Royal Dutch Petroleum. They're based in the UK and the Netherlands, but really they own half of Houston. They're a company that has often been called a country unto themselves. They run Nigeria. How about Ben & Jerry's?
Shell Oil runs Nigeria.
Pretty much, yeah. Royal Dutch Petroleum. Ben & Jerry's?
Well, it's based in Vermont.
Not anymore. It's owned by Unilever.
How about
Farmers Insurance? It's owned by Zurich in Switzerland. Arco, British Petroleum. Gerber, nope. Carnation, nope. Cup of Soup, nope. Fox News, it's based in Australia, if you can believe that. Seagram's, Canada. Bayer Aspirin, Germany. Vaseline, UK. Friskies, France. Trader Joe's. It's now owned by Aldi, which is a German company. And now Walmart's trying to buy Aldi, right? Aldi bought German. And then 7-Eleven?
Japan.
Yeah, now there's a real interesting case study. 7-Eleven wanted to go into Japan. They did. It turns out the Japanese love small stores. They love, you go to Japan, 7-Eleven is the place to buy everything. And it's still small. And every pair is like $6. But it's been treated like a baby. They got so big, they turned around and bought the United States 7-Eleven. And now if you go into Mexico, they're trying to give OXXO a run for their money. Have you been in Mexico?
Yeah.
Yeah, OXXO. I mean, it's a game. Let's count how many OXXOs or whatever you do. Now you got 7-Eleven. Now, Volvo and Saab would be the one you would expect to be fine, right? Volvo is owned by Ford. GM owns Saab, but not anymore. They sold them 10 years ago. Now Volvo is owned by Geely. It's a Chinese company. And Saab is now owned by some small Sweden. Yeah. No, it's owned by a company in the Netherlands now. It used to be both Swedish. So, yeah. In fact, which country has had the best average annual return over the past 40 years or so? He knows these already. He's going through this. Which country? You don't have to be right, folks. Come on, we gotta get through this in 15 minutes. Go on. Australia.
Hong Kong.
Is
that in order at all?
No, it's not in order. Oh. It's the alphabetical order.
Japan.
Sweden.
Oh, I knew that.
What? They got communist universal health care. They're socialists! How could Sweden beat out the US of A? And Netherlands, Denmark, Switzerland, Japan, Italy, what the hell's going on down here?
What's going on down here?
There's an explanation for that.
There is an explanation for it. What's going on in Italy? If you're a woman, they will give you beaucoup bucks to go bathe a baby. In Japan.
H.
Demographics. It gets back to how many people. It's very difficult to grow an economy when you are losing people. And the United States is now losing people. Our birth rate has dropped to the point where we are now on a trajectory to have a negative growth rate. And how did the United States used to increase our?
Immigration?
Yeah, immigration. How's that going on now, right? Right, we used to say, come on, we need you. We need you. Come here, come here, come here. But now it's become, you know, damn foreigners. Muslim. Okay, so. We're not bad, folks. Not bad. The United States is not bad, but hey. So, now, types of, this is very important. Whenever we make a decision, we have to know our time frame. Because our time frame, when do we need the money, really limits the number of investments that we have. If we need the money in the short term, don't put it in the stocks. You need the money in the long term, you got a lot better options. So short term, intermediate term, and long term. And there are various schemes, but this is the one you'll see most often. I take a little longer view, but up to a year or so for short term investments, 2 to 5 years for intermediate term, and anything 5 or more years. Before you make an investment, you must know your time frame. So do decide upon which ones you're going to use. You could use the industry's most profitable one. I think short-term 1, 2, maybe even 3 years, depending on the importance of the money. 3 to 5, maybe 6 or 7 intermediate term, and long-term for me is 10, 20, 30 years. And now liquid versus illiquid. What is a liquid investment? Mayor?
Not cash or something, right?
No, cash. Cash is very liquid. Anything that can either is cash or quickly converted to cash. There's a ready market to purchase your investment. Change of ownership happens quickly. Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate investment trusts. Illiquid investments may be difficult or sometimes impossible to convert into cash. The market for the investment is small, or the change happens slowly, or both. Now, what's the poster child for this one? Real estate. Can you sell your house tomorrow? No, it takes 3, 6, 9 months typically to sell a home, to sell real estate. It's not a liquid investment. But you know that going in. You should know that going in. And then some partnerships, some collectibles. Sure, it says on this website that my baseball cards are worth $1,800, but are they really?
That's like emotional value or something.
Well, it depends. Is it a very marketable card? And usually what they'll sell you it for is a whole lot more than what they'll buy it back from you. And that's called the spread, and we'll discuss that in detail. And then risk versus return. Risk versus return. Very, very important. And as we said, and we'll go back to it over and over again, risk is the chance that actual investment returns will differ from the expected return. What's the typical definition of risk? Possibility of suffering harm or loss, danger. In general, the higher the expectation of investment term returns, the higher the risk level. So here is the my guidelines. The book is a little higher. They use higher numbers. But I consider anything 3 to 5% low risk. Actually, it's a little bit lower now compared to considering what's going on. 5 to 8 is moderate risk. 8 to 10. I tell people 8, 9, 10%. Don't tell them 12%. They'll get too excited. Anything greater than 12% is considered speculative. And as we said, speculation is not often considered investing. At least I don't consider it investing. Okay, so now you're going to study these, right? Nod your head yes.
Yes,
nod your head yes. Good, because that's what students do. Students study. Do students party?
Yes.
No. Students study. You see, it's got studied. Pardon? Are you a pardon? No. You're not a pardon. Okay, so now that we've gone through these, let's see. Let's do. We have about 3 minutes, so we have to spend about 5 minutes doing something else. If you're a day late, what would be a Bank of America Passbook savings account? What is it, security or property?
I would say
a savings account at a bank. It's a financial investment, security. Is it debt or equity?
Equity.
It's debt. Remember, you're lending your money to somebody else. So It's a debt investment. Direct or indirect?
Indirect.
No, direct. Your name's on the title.
Oh, Jack.
You direct, your name's on the title. They can do with their money. They're going to do whatever they do with their money. They're going to lend it out. Is it domestic or foreign?
Domestic.
Bank of America. Anybody know where they're based?
It's multinational, so it's hard to say.
Actually, no. It's NA. Banks are not. Well, they have outside. There's different companies, but it's a domestic entity. It's North Carolina. North Carolina. A short term, intermediate term, or long term?
Long term.
Short term.
Some people long term, but no. Savings accounts should be considered short term.
Okay.
That's where you park your money. You don't want to lose it. Is it low, moderate, or high risk? Very low. Is it liquid?
Yes.
Get my money tomorrow, today. What about Nestle? N-E-S-T-L-E-S. World's largest food company. Where are they based?
Switzerland.
Got to be quick. He's fast. Yeah, but again, they're a global company. They're all over the world. Are they a security or property?
Security.
Security, debt, or equity?
Equity.
You own the stock. You're part owner. Direct or indirect?
Direct.
Direct. You own the stock. Domestic or foreign?
Foreign.
Global. Short term, intermediate term, or long term?
Depends.
In general, we consider stocks to be long term because they're very volatile. But it's Nestle, so maybe short term. I mean, intermediate term. I would not consider it short term because you never know what the stock market's going to do. Low, moderate, or high risk?
Low
and moderate. I would say moderate, but again,
moderate.
Stocks in general are high risk. Liquid, illiquid? Very liquid.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to buy your 20 shares of Nestle. How about Proposition A and RR bonds from Southwestern? Huh? How did we build that stadium, folks? Did we have a bake sale? Did they take it out of our salaries? No, we sold bonds. We made loans. So is it security or our property? It's a security, financial investment, debt or equity?
Debt.
It's debt. You're lending your money to Southwestern College. We are going to pay you back interest over the next 30 years. Direct or indirect?
Indirect.
Direct, because you own it. It's your name's on the bond or the brokerage firm. Domestic or foreign? I know some people call us Tijuana Tech, but no, we're domestic. Short term, intermediate term, or long term?
Long term.
It could be intermediate, but in general, people buy their bonds for the long term, for the income. Low, moderate, or high risk?
Low.
Pretty low. We're AAA rated. And then liquid or illiquid?
Liquid.
Somebody will buy the bond. Okay, so let's skip the, how we do over time. Let's go right to the loan to Uncle Harry. Every family has an Uncle Harry, right? Right, okay.
That money.
Well, yeah. Is it a security or property?
Security.
Security, it's a financial investment. Debt or equity?
Debt.
You're lending your money. Direct or indirect? Your name's on the loan. Domestic or foreign?
Domestic.
Tilly sends you a postcard from Brazil. Short term, intermediate, long term, or forever? Low, moderate, high risk, or
high risk.
Liquid, illiquid?
Illiquid.
Nobody going to buy your debt. Nobody going to buy it. Okay, so now we got 5 minutes. We need 10 stocks. What are some of the companies you'd like to follow? Because we're going to do a little game throughout the semester. Exactly, stock track.
Amtrak.
Amtrak is government owned in Canada.
No.
CVX, there are some. You want a railroad?
The high speed railroad.
Nobody's going to do it.
Yeah, my man.
State of California's got stuck with that. Well, do you think we'll ever see the bullet train in California?
No.
I don't think so.
Not California. What's the point? I mean,
what's the point? Very good question. It would be beautiful if they had this wonderful land that they could just build this bullet train from LA to San Francisco. Wouldn't that be beautiful?
Wow, it's amazing.
It's not there. What? That'll be real popular. We're going to tear up I-5 and we're going to build a bullet train. That'll be real popular. Okay, how about it?
Question. Are we trying to follow existing business
stocks
that are being on the market?
You want to do
IPOs? Let's do two new ones.
What the
okay,
hell?
Okay. Yeah, who? You know who?
I would say Uber. It's one of
new. Who wants to invest in Uber? Oh, you guys don't answer me. It doesn't matter.
What about Beyond?
Beyond me, it's even worse. No, they're both pretty bad. No, actually, I'm right. I would take Beyond Meat because I think
it's a good one. The Ring security.
Who owns Ring?
Everybody. The little door.
Is it public yet? Ring is Ring public?
Yeah.
It is.
That's Ring.
Okay. Ring is that. I don't know. No. How about a company that is real? $5.
$5.
I'm sorry, $4. $6.
What about Wells Fargo?
Wells Fargo, I'll take a bank.
Coca-Cola.
I'm running out of
dividends. Dividends.
Okay. Apple.
Capital.
Wait. Who?
Roku.
That's going to be up here, isn't it? Isn't Roku pretty new?
Yeah.
I heard good things about it.
Okay.
Is there a price limit that you're looking
for? No, we're just looking at 10 stocks. Just 10 stocks. We'd like to see more. We got plenty of risky stocks. Here are some that are not so risky. These are not so risky, so I like that.
How about Warren Buffett, Berkshire?
Berkshire Hathaway?
Oh, that shit is expensive.
That's all right. We'll get Burke B. But yes, Jenny?
Amazon.
Ooh! PG&E! They're looking at bankruptcy. But are people going to accept not having the ability to take a warm shower in the light? They're going to take cold showers in the dark? Is PG&E going to go anywhere? Who is PG&E? Pacific Gas and Electric? Why are they in trouble?
Because of the fires,
right. People want to live in these beautiful areas, wooded, out in the boonies, and they want electricity, and they want gas. And so what happens? Starts a fire, there's lines, and they blame, you guys are in trouble because you started that fire. Well, if that stupid idiot didn't live up there, they're happy. Don't blame us. Okay, Andrew, two minutes.
All right, so I invest one stock and increased by 20% the last few months.
Okay.
And it's called Virgin Galactic.
Is that public now?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, but these are all very, okay. I'll choose which one. Okay, anybody else?
Cannabis.
Who?
Cannabis.
Last spring, somebody wanted a cannabis stock. I forget which one it was. And it proceeded to drop like 80%. Oh, yeah, it was bad. Cannabis stocks. You want to invest in cannabis? Buy Philip Morris.
Philip Morris?
Yeah, you ever hear of Marlboro's?
Oh, Marlboro's.
Yeah, Marlboro's. Buy Camel. Buy R.J.R. Reynolds. Okay, who else? Anybody else? You have 10? I might add something a little bit more safe. Yes?
Brookfield Renewables.
What is it? Is it an energy company? Okay, cool. Maybe that's a good idea. So we got more than 10, right? No, actually, a couple more. We need a couple more.
Tesla?
Oh, I love to invest in. I got a long story. It's a little high now. It's a little expensive right now.
You see
but
pump and dump one of them?
Pump, well, the problem is there's too many shares, pump and dump, yes. Waste Management Incorporated. What do they do? Waste Management Incorporation.
They pick up trash.
They pick up the trash. Are you going to be looking at Farcebook? Fitbook?
Facebook?
In 50 years. I don't know. But is somebody going to be picking up the trash in 50 years?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, so we got enough. All right, next Tuesday. So you're going to study, right?
Yes. The
students do. Go over the notes. Next Tuesday, we will go through the overview of investment universe. We'll have 10 stocks up on the website for you to take a look at. And be awesome, dear students.
Hey, what's up?
Okay, now, who wants to add the class? Is this thing still working? I hope so. Yes, hey, it worked. I hope you work well for me.